Lavi Greenspan. When I was learning in Israel, like you guys have, which is, I tell you this, is a tremendous present from Hashem that you get to learn Torah in the Halakha Yerushalayim Yer Kaddish. So when I was learning in Israel, a friend went to me, Lavi must be short for Leviticus. So some guy called my house once ago, can I please speak to Leviticus? My father goes, I'm sorry, he just took an Exodus. So if you guys like taking Exodus, trust me, some of my shidduch dates it all the time. I won't know you're not here, trust me. So, by the way, like Mark Sanchez should take an Exodus. Oh my goodness, he's better. You know what he should be? He should become a bathroom attendant. And your team should be a cheerleader, I guess. I don't know. You guys, I just have to tell you one thing. You understand why the Mets and the Jets now rhyme. You know, they're pretty. Every time I pass the graveyard, I think of the Mets and the Jets. Anyway, all seriousness, if you look in the last couple of weeks of Parsha, first of all, Yaakov Avinu did not want to go down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov knew the greatness of living in Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem said he had to go. And Yosef, the second command of Egypt, saved Egypt from a tremendous famine. He told Paro to build warehouses and everything. Suddenly, what happened to Parsha Shmos? Paro said, I never knew Yosef. And I think what Binyamin Jacobs from Lakewood might have said this, or it might be changing word, Paro did not want to remember Yosef. He wanted to forget Yosef. Because he realized, if he realized the greatness of what Yosef did to Mitzrayim, Paro could not touch B'nai Yisrael. And then what happens? The Jews get enslavement. One of the hardest enslavements I think we might have had in history, maybe outside the Holocaust. Obviously the Holocaust was tremendous also. And Crusades, Inquisition. And I could tell, you know, then suddenly, boom, what happens? The Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, the gold and silver, before we know it, won our way to Har Sinai, before we know it, won our way to Eretz Yisrael. And I think the message of the Yid and B'nai Yisrael Mitzrayim teaches us a message. We don't know why certain situations or certain challenges are cut to us in life. That we don't know. But one thing we know is that Hashem is running the world, and Hashem does everything for our best. You see that from Mitzrayim, how Hashem, one day the Egyptians on top of the mountain, before you know it, they're gone. And they're no longer here. The great Egypt is not here anymore. But who's still here? B'nai Yisrael. And I'll start my speech in 2 minutes, but if you look at how much the Jews have contributed to society, it's tremendous. There was once a guy who wrote to the Colorado Gazette. He said, dear Jews, I want you to leave America. And he goes, by the way, leave me the polio vaccine. Leave me. And he listed tons of stuff the Jews made. And he goes, by the way, take me along with you. Because what it teaches us, Hashem is always with us. And if you can explain to me how 68 years ago when the Holocaust ended, that we have so many yeshivas, seminaries, and kolas, and we're flourishing, it doesn't make logical sense. Because one thing, we are Hashem's people. And you have to know that when you go through life. And you'll see from the following story how important to know that Hashem is our father, and we are his precious children. About 18 and a half, I started Fordham Law School Manhattan, and I used to take a subway there every day. Around October, November, I started to notice every time I got off the subway, I always had to run towards the water fountain. I was always dying of thirst. So I thought maybe I have diabetes, because one of the signs of diabetes, you're always thirsty. So in January of 1995, I went to my doctor, Dr. Schoenfeld. He's a firm doctor, incredible doctor. And he checked me out. He goes, Lavi, you don't have diabetes, but come back to me a month from now. I didn't bother to go back because I figured it's not an emergency. So from January to May of that year, I was constantly waking up in the middle of the night, constantly going to the bathroom. I was very hyper, very excited. So I really thought it had to be one of two issues. Either a psychological problem, or I just hate law school. So in relation to law school problem, I signed up for it, or maybe I was looking too much at my Virginian's face. I hate to say it's truthful. Anyway. I noticed all you guys wear sunglasses. Anyway. So anyway, that summer, I signed up for a social work program, and I started to go see a psychologist. My incredible, loving mother said to me around May time, Lavi, why don't you go back to the doctor? Go back for a visit. Go see your doctor. I can't explain you this. I had this big, flat, big fat, bloated face. Not like Alex Rodriguez. I didn't take drugs. The doctor took one look at my face, and he goes, Lavi, you have Cushing's disease. You have a benign tumor. He then sent me to Dr. Levine at Mount Sinai Hospital, ordered that an MRI and a CAT scan be taken in order to find the exact location of the tumor. They found a benign tumor of the pituitary gland right below the brain near the optic nerve. They then told me I would need two operations to remove the tumor. One was a 9.5-hour open head surgery, and another was a 6-hour operation through the nose. I owe tremendous gratitude to Hashem that Baruch Hashem I survived both operations and I went home. About 2 weeks later, I had a checkup with one of my surgeons, and about a day or two, a couple days before the meeting, I noticed I had a lot of mucus in my nose. So when I showed up for the checkup, I go, "Doctor, is it normal I should have such mucus in my nose after having such operations?" He goes, "Levi, that's not mucus. You're leaking fluid from your head. You have a cerebral spinal fluid leak. You're now going to require another 4-hour operation through the nose to close up that leak." When I woke up from that surgery, I go, "Doctor, I think I'm news you don't want to hear. I really believe I'm leaking. I think I'm still leaking." He goes, "There's no way you're leaking. You just underwent a 4-hour operation. You see, when we take the cotton out of your nose, you see all it is dry blood." Sure enough, when he took the cotton out, I was still leaking. I then need another 4 to 6 hour open head surgery to close up that leak. During that summer of 1995, I had a total of 4 operations. After the 4th surgery, they told me that my vision would not be 20/20 because in order to get to the benign tumor, they had to knock the optic nerve out of its place. But they said the vision would restore itself. I think October, November, December, Baruch Hashem, I got back my normal vision. Around February or March of 1996, I started to notice every time I ate, food would come flying out of my mouth. Part of the food would go down, part would come out. So I got in contact with the Dr. Bookbinder at Mount Sinai Hospital, and he told me due to all the operations, due to all the surgeries, scar tissue or skin wrapped around the jaw, and that's why I couldn't open my mouth fully. He told me I would need another 1.5-hour operation, in and out the same day to cut away the scar tissue. After I recovered, I had to undergo some radiation treatments to remove what was left of the tumor. About once a week or 5-week period. Baruch Hashem, no nausea, no hair loss. When the radiation was finished, I was hoping that this be the last time I need to step foot in any hospital, even Mount Sinai, maybe for an occasional checkup, but hopefully no more operations, no more surgeries, no more radiation, no more major medical procedure. I was hoping this whole story, this whole episode of my life was coming to an end, was coming to a conclusion. In August of 1997, a good friend of mine, Jonathan Kaplan, got married in St. Louis, Missouri. And at that time, my brother's in-laws live in St. Louis. So I called him. I said, "Can I stay at your house?" He goes, "Levi, the same time you're going to be in St. Louis for Jonathan Kaplan's wedding, we're going to be in Eretzel for our son's wedding. Our house is your house, like mi casa, su casa. Make yourself at home, do whatever you want." I actually looked for credit cards. They didn't leave me any. So one day, I was backing up their car into the garage. I missed the garage wall. I would figure, whatever reason, I missed the wall. Didn't make money. Of course, I apologized, offered to pay. They said, "Don't worry." When I came back to New York, my father goes to me, "Your sister and brother-in-law are coming back from Israel for my brother-in-law's brother's wedding, Chasna." And my father goes to me, "I'll drive my car to the airport and you drive theirs." So I was driving on the Van Wyck Highway towards John F. Kennedy Airport when I cut a guy off. I went right in front of another car. I can't tell you how much gratitude I owe to Hashem that no one got killed, no one got injured, and no car got damaged. But I realized there's something wrong with my eyesight, with my vision, if I could not see a car in back of me. So I went to one ophthalmologist who sent me to another, who said to me, "Don't get concerned. You'll come once or twice a week, you'll do computer exercises, and you see your vision will restore itself, you'll be okay." So I did what he told me. I used to go to his office once or twice a week, do the computer exercises. But what he told me, the opposite was occurring. My vision was not increasing, but decreasing. I was seeing less and less and less. So I got in contact with the Dr. Joe Mindell. He's a newer ophthalmologist at Mount Sinai Hospital. And by the time I went to see him, I could no longer see out of my left eye. Dr. Mindell said to me, "Levi, there's no way I can get back the eyesight you lost, nor can I guarantee you're going to see for the rest of your life." I'm not going to lie to you, I don't remember how I reacted, but I imagine I was not dancing for joy. I can't tell you, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have an incredible, loving, great family. And my amazing family did some homework for me. And they found out about Dr. Scott Foreman at Westchester County Medical Center. Dr. Foreman has a technique called the hyperbaric chamber. What that is, it's a glass tube. You line it for 2 hours at a time, twice a day, and you receive oxygen. Dr. Foreman told me, undergoing this oxygen procedure twice a day for 2 hours apiece, he'll keep the vision I have. He can't get back the eyesight I lost, but at least keep the vision I have. And every time you enter or leave the hyperbaric chamber, a nurse takes your temperature. So one day I was leaving, and the nurse took my temperature. And she said, Levie, you have 103. I don't remember what she said, but I imagine she said, is anyone home in your house? Again, I imagine I told her, give me some Tylenol, some Advil. I'm an adult, I can take care of myself. Again, looking back, I tell you, I owe gratitude, tremendous gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The nurse did not listen to me. She put me on the side for observation. She watched me and monitored me. My temperature went up to 105, and I went unconscious. I was unconscious for 3 full days. I had meningitis. When I woke up, they transported me back to Mount Sinai Hospital in an ambulance, where I then needed another 6-hour open head surgery. That was my 6th operation. After I recovered, I returned back to Dr. Scott Foreman at Westchester County Medical Center. I go, could I continue going into the chamber? Could I continue receiving oxygen? I was hoping to say, yes, Levie, we're going to save your eyesight. Don't worry, you're going to be okay. But you know what Dr. Foreman said to me? Yes, we can put you in the hyperbaric chamber, and yes, we can give you oxygen. But unfortunately, I'm not sure it's going to be successful since the treatments were interrupted. On Erev Chanukah of 1997, when I was 26 years old, I went 100% totally blind. I could not see a thing. And as Rabbi Ginia will tell you this, I'm being serious. Chanukah is one of the few yontes where seeing is everything. I'm not going to lie to you, that Chanukah was the most emotional yontes of my life. This was the first time since I was a little kid that my father had to hold my hand to light the menorah. You know, I'm sure this past Chanukah you walked the beautiful streets of Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. You saw menorahs all over the place. You saw the flame, the wick. How beautiful it is, how incredible it is. And yes, you can. Yes, I'm sure you thank Hashem for keeping you alive, and you thank Hashem for giving you, allowing you to do the mitzvah. Yes, I can thank Hashem for keeping me alive and thank Hashem for what He's done for me, but I can't look at other people's menorahs like my own. I'm not going to lie to you. You know what it means not to even look at a Gemara? Not to read a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? The holy words of Rabbi Akiva, Yochanan, Mezakeh, Rishon, Baichai? Not to read a Rashi or Tosfos? You know what it means? You're sitting at shul and they're laning and you have no idea what's going on? You know, Roshon Yom Kippur, this incredible tzaddik from my neighborhood, Robert Spitz, he volunteers to start with me. He said word by word for me every Shemana Esrei Roshon Yom Kippur. I have 6 nephews and nieces. I have no idea how they look. You know what it means to wake up in the morning and you can't admire Hashem's beautiful, incredible creations, such as a bird, a tree, a piece of grass, a sunshine, a moon? You know what it means to walk the beautiful streets of Yerushalayim and you can't see the beauty? I'm not going to lie to you. When I go to the Kotel, I don't see the impact. It's not as much impact on me because I can't see it. In fact, someone asked Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal whether I can do Kriya. You know, if you haven't been to the Kotel for the 3 days, you have to make a sign of mourning. But Yoshev said, no, I don't do it because I can't see it. And you know what it means, as Rabbi Ginia will tell you this, and my constant, well, the other Rebbeim here? There's nothing more beautiful than going to a base medrash and see someone learning Torah. Yes, maybe I can hear the words, but I can't see that beautiful thing of someone learning Torah. And I tell everyone this, if Hashem made me blind to teach me the importance of learning Torah, I understand. I can't tell you how much I miss learning Torah. So I went blind in my last semester of law school. My sister, Marit Wolf, who's happily married, she volunteered to help me out with one of the finals, and Baruch Hashem, I passed that one. 2 other individuals, David Becker and Seth Berkowitz, one was in law school and the other one graduated, volunteered to help me out with the other final. And Baruch Hashem, I passed that one also. Then the organization deals with the blind. It's called the Lighthouse for the Blind. They came over to my house and they put little buns on my microwave and my oven. And they told me to tell my family that nothing in the house can move without telling me. The milk, the orange juice, the water, all stays in the exact same spot in the refrigerator. If someone moves and doesn't tell me, I'm going to pour orange juice into my milk thinking that's cereal, thinking that's milk. All the doors of my house have to be closed. If someone leaves a little jar, I'll smack my head right into it. If someone leaves a package on the floor, I'll kick it across the room. As all of us know, at the end of law school is the bar exam. So the course that prepares us for the bar exam was sued a couple years back by blind people. So they put the whole course on the cassette tape. Besides that, I live in an incredible, incredible neighborhood called Hillcrest, Queens. I called two people from my neighborhood. One of them was Rebbetzin Esther Krauss. And within 2 days, over 30 lawyers, 30 members of the Frum community, came over one per night to help me study for the bar. The bar is usually 2 days, but disabled or handicapped people like me, we get 4 days. And we're allowed to bring in any friends or relatives to ask us the questions, as long as they're not lawyers or law students. I think up to 10, 11 people volunteered to take the exam with me. And again, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I passed the New York State Bar on the first try. And due to the chesed of Hashem, I received my smicha, and I recently got my social work degree, all to the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But people ask me, what made me go on? Why did I stay home and cry for the rest of life? Don't stay home and do nothing. Stay home and moan and groan. So I tell you, besides my family, like I told you, I have a beautiful, loving, incredible family. I could not ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a better family. There are four reasons I continued. The first one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. I can't tell you this, but since I went blind, I feel wherever I go, Hashem is holding my hand. Hashem is carrying me. I'm going to tell you, I feel more closer to Hashem now than ever before. When I daven, I feel I'm talking face to face, mouth to mouth, eye to eye to Hashem. And I talk to Hashem even outside of davening. I guarantee you, Bachrim, and I'm telling you, Rebbeim will tell you the same. Just talk to Hashem. Before you go to sleep, just talk to Hashem. The more you talk to Hashem, the more you allow Hashem to come in your life, Hashem will come in. Hashem is just waiting for us to open the door for him to come in. I'm telling you, just talk to Hashem. Hashem is the best. Just talk to Hashem, and you'll see he'll come into your life. The second ayin that made me continue is Rabbi Yehuda Parnas, my Rebbe. I still remember when I was in intensive care unit before my first surgery, with wires coming in and out of my body, that you were not permitted to have a visitor in the ICU at 9:30 in the morning. And I still remember Yehuda Parnas bending over my bed at 9:30 in the morning when I was in the ICU, and he said to me, Levi, I told the nurse I'm your rabbi. And she said, I can have 1 minute. And that's all I need. I need to tell you one thing. I am there for you. Well, Parnas has been there for the last 15 or whatever, since I went blind, since 1997. My father calls Parnas a malach. My mother calls him a father. My family can appreciate so much what he's done for my family. So people ask me, how did I get so close to Parnas? So I tell you, when I could see, I went and asked him every question in the book. Am I doing this halacha correctly? Is this the proper outlook I should have on life? Is this what I should be doing for summer vacation? Well, Parnas was there in the good times, and in the so-called difficult times, well, Parnas has been a major, major pillar of support for my family and I. You, Bachrim, are blessed with incredible, incredible Rebbeim. Being serious, by Virginia, by Kansas, I don't know who else here, but these Rebbeim love you like their own sons. Ask them any questions. Ask them where you should go for Shabbos. What you should do next year. Ask them what bracha to make on the food. I'm telling you, develop a relationship with your Rebbeim. They love you, they love you, they love you. I can't stress you more about this. And you'll see they'll be there in the good times. And just having a Rebbe in the good times, you'll see your life will change so much better. And chas v'shalom, and I repeat, chas v'shalom, if you should face so-called difficult times, you'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having your Rebbe there to be the whole, your Rebbe there to hold your hand. The third item that made me continue is Klal Yisrael, the Jewish community. I still remember my non-Jewish roommates in the hospital, if anyone visited them at all, was their family. My family, as I told you, was there day in and day out, night in and night out. But besides my family, I had tons and tons of friends. In fact, one Motzei Shabbos, a friend called me up and goes, Levi, could I come over and play bongos for you? I go, as long as you don't charge me. Let's put it this way, you wasn't worth it. Just joking. Besides my friends and family, I had Satma women, Orthodox doctor, people from a local shul in Manhattan called Oyev Tzedek, this woman, Mrs. Khan, and this guy, Mickey, Zechet Tzadik Levacha. I'm guessing that the nurses must have been amazed and marveled at all at how many visitors I had. But I don't need to tell you how beautiful Klal Yisrael is. We see the greatness. Tom Chesha, Besatzol, Chai Lifeline. This Chavev, there's so much chesed we do. And you can say, well, I can't do it. I'm not a multi-billionaire. You don't need to be a multi-billionaire. First of all, you can volunteer your time. But even in yeshiva, you know what? Bring an extra pen when you go to shir. Maybe a guy needs a pen. Or maybe if there's a guy in yeshiva who doesn't have many places to go for Shabbos, say, you want to come with me? Or once a week, call someone who's lonely and say, I'd like to wish you good Shabbos. There's so much chesed you can do. Just even ask your rebbein, they'll help you. The last item that made me continue is Torah. Through Torah, I realized that everything Hashem does is for my best, even so I might not understand how it's for my best. And I don't know if you noticed, but if you go to people's houses who don't learn Torah, who don't live Torah, who don't occupy themselves with Torah, they get consumed by the craziest things at the Shabbos table. Like, who's a better quarterback, Sanchez or Tebow? Who's a better bathroom attendant? Whatever. You know? But if you go to people's houses who learn Torah, who live Torah, who occupy themselves with Torah, they don't get consumed by this. Because they know there's much more to life than what talking about the Jets or the Giants. And I guarantee you this. The more you learn Torah, the more you're going to smile. The more you learn Torah, the more happy you're going to be. The more you learn Torah, the more you just want to dance and sing to Hashem. The more you learn Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for giving you a purpose and meaning in life. The more you learn Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for giving you a mission to live. The more you learn Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for making you a Yid. The more you learn Torah, the more you thank Hashem for giving you the Torah. And the more you learn Torah, the more you thank Hashem for making you part of the chosen nation. And I'm telling you, learn, learn, learn. I'm telling you, I guarantee you this. You're going to have a much happier life. If you have any questions, please, you can ask anything you want. Anybody here? So I have to tell you, one of the benefits of being blind, if I'm ever in back of somebody I don't like, I can hit them and tell them it's an accident. A lot of my friends have been hit. I once by accident bumped into a guy, and the guy goes, what, are you blind? I go, yeah, I am. Any questions?
Did you ever...
What's your name, Jess?
Shalom Ratches.
And where are you from?
Baltimore.
Okay. You learn here?
Yeah.
Okay, nothing bad. Where did you go to high school, guess?
Rama.
Okay.
Did you ever lose your faith in God?
No. I might hear it the occasion, but never. No, not much. And I'm trying to think, no. Maybe a second here, a second there, but overall, no. Hashem's the best. Mamish Hashem's the best. I tell you this, Shalom. This guy, Rabbi Bindi Friedman, Rabbi Jinyan probably knows he is. He does Kiyuv in the old city. I heard an incredible story from him, and this gives me chizik every time. I don't know why I think the guy's name is Baruch Singer, but let's call him Baruch Singer anyway. After the Holocaust, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. All Baruch Singer had was one son left. His son went to fight the War of Independence for Israel. Baruch Singer was sitting in his apartment in Tel Aviv, and he saw Israeli soldiers coming to him. He realized his last son was killed. As they're burying his son, Baruch Singer is dancing and singing at the levaya at the funeral. A guy goes, this is your son's funeral, you don't dance and sing? He goes, you don't realize. My children and my wife have no idea where they're buried. At least this one, I know where he's buried. And it taught me a lot, Shalom. It taught me that you have to appreciate what you do have, not what you don't have. Because if you're always going to want, you're never going to be happy. There's a famous Pigavas, Ashrei Ishei Sameach B'Chauka. Yes, I can see, and I'm not going to lie to you, there are times I get depressed, but I can't get angry at Hashem. Hashem's treated me tremendously. How can I say get angry at my own father? And I can move my fingers, I'm still alive, you know what I'm saying? There are people much younger than me, unfortunately, lost their lives. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. How could I complain?
How do you practice?
What's your name?
Ellie Scheller.
Where are you from?
Baltimore also.
You've known my friend Shalom from Rambam?
Met him once or twice.
He's a great guy. As I say, thumbs up. By the way, Shalom, I wish you good luck in the Ravens. I hope they won.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, what's your name?
Eliezer.
Schiller?
Yeah.
You related to my mayor, Schiller?
It's Scheller.
Oh, Scheller, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going blind. I'm sorry, yeah. I always use that as an excuse. I tell people, okay, you don't want to help me, be over lifting naive, sleep well tonight. You see blind sheep crying in your sleep tonight, don't get me. And I tell people, okay, now I realize my Mashiach's not here, you don't want to help with a blind man. There you go, I'm sorry, yeah.
How do you practice law if you're blind?
So I have people read it to me. Like example, people read the contract and say, and I'll tell the reader, highlight this, footnote this, that's how I work. You know, people read it to me.
Is it harder to get work?
Harder, yes. I was a lawyer for close to 8 years, and I fortunately, due to the great economy, you know, it hasn't gone too well. By the way, next week I'm going to be on TV, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Toronto 2 News is doing a special me Wednesday night. Blind man sniper kills Obama.
I wish you the best for him. Best of luck.
Will you visit me in jail? What? Will you visit me?
Of course.
Okay. Because I might be there with Mark Sanchez, you know. Rocky Balboa, Sylvester Stallone. These guys can't give it up, you know. Hulk Hogan, you know. But these guys really have to give up. But I think, you know, the next Rocky he's coming out with? He's fighting Hulk Hogan in the nursing home by Keynes. But, yeah, so that's how I work. Is it harder? Yes, obviously. But again, everything's, Hashem's running the show. Right now, Hashem feels that, right now I'm working as a social worker in the Yeshiva Elementary School. Baruch Hashem, it was a gift from Hashem. But Hashem feels right now I should not be working the law. Everything's in the hands of Hashem. Next, any other questions?
Is your memory much better now?
What's your name, Shalom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know about 100, 150 phone numbers in my head. I can tell you this. The three I started from the Yisrael, 410-602-3145. We have fan, 410-484-1605. New York Mets, 1-800-GRAVEYARD. You know, yeah. I mean, my memory's increased. But I'll tell you this, Shalom. Hashem's the ultimate test maker. Hashem won't give you a test you cannot pass. So therefore, Hashem knows, if I don't have increased senses, I cannot survive. You know what I'm saying? I can't cross the street without increased hearing. I can't, if no one's on my house, I won't be able to survive without increased, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hashem's the ultimate test maker. He's the best.
Can you still see shapes?
Or? I can't see anything. You know, bats can't see?
Yeah.
I call myself the Jewish Batman. I've been looking for a cat lady. No one wants to be it. I was wondering if my friend, by Virginia, you could be it. The only problem is, he doesn't look so good. Oh my, is that Virginia right there?
I'm sitting 2 rows in front of you. Okay,
please. Oh God, he is ugly. Even for a blind man. Can I ask you a question? When you talk to Virginia, you go like this. Virginia, can I tell you something you remind me of?
That's here.
Freddy Krueger from Friday the 13th.
Yeah. He was still around back then.
See that? I know, he looks better than you. Anyway, yeah, so I can't see a thing. I mean, say, Shalom, you could take a flashlight, put it in front of my eyes. I cannot see a thing. Any other questions? Are there only two guys in the room?
No, I have another question.
What's your name?
Same guy.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I'm blind, yeah.
When you go near the walls,
is there,
I read in a book that you can feel a certain, air pocket in front of walls.
I don't know then, I feel sometimes, yeah. I feel sometimes when things are coming, but I've also made mistakes. You know what I'm saying? I've also think walls are coming and they're not. But I can tell you, I guess if I talk, I can hear the voice will bounce off and I'll, you know. But I don't want to say for sure, but yes, sometimes you do. So, but I'm not lying. There have been times I smashed my head against walls. There definitely are times.
Are other, like any of your other...
What's your name?
Shlomi Weiler.
From where?
Brooklyn, New York.
Where do you go to high school?
In South Indiana.
Okay.
What?
Well, you know what you're going to ask?
Any of your other senses better?
All of them. I'm not lying to you. I know about 154 numbers in my head. I'm not lying to you. All my son. I'll tell you a story. About 2-3 years ago, I was home with my mother. My father was working. My siblings are all married. And I go to my mom. I smell smoke. My mother goes, Levi's probably next door neighbor had a barbecue last night. At 10:30, she goes outside. She sees the other next door neighbor's house on fire. Which I'm kind of happy because she thinks that the next door neighbor's house went on fire. She thinks the house is like the Bronx Zoo. She had 18 cats. She feeds pigeons. It's crazy. She's a nutcase, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But she's a guy, so I can say it. But I'm just trying to say it. But I'm not happy that cats died. I'm not like that. But yeah. I happen to be a big cat man. I love them. But yeah. But all my senses increase. It's a gift from Hashem. Hashem's the best. Hashem does not let you down. Any other questions? That's it? Wait, Jenny, you can just pick it because I can't say. I'm being serious, miss.
There's one person in the back.
Okay, what's your name? Yohi Boritz. Where are you from? Flatbush, where you go to high school?
Part-time.
Okay. Bobby Jacobson?
Part of the time, yeah.
What?
Part of the time.
Okay, no problem. Yochi, your name, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to insult you, okay?
First of all, when you dream, can you see in your dreams?
Yeah, most of my dreams are people in the past, but I don't know if you have. When I dream very weird things. For example, I have a friend of mine who's a big tzaddik, Rabbi Eitan Feinerschlitter, an incredible tzaddik, right, Virginia will tell you. So I had a dream that I was talking to him, but the guy who came was not him. Was a different friend of mine who's not even from there. You know what I'm saying? It was just very weird. You know what I'm saying? I worked in Camp Pass. I was having a dream that I was talking to one of my campers who, I'm not minimizing, but he's a special child. Like I was talking like, you know, buddy. You know what I'm saying? But yes, most of my dreams, most of the people I see in my dreams, I do see my dreams. I think I see in color, but I don't want to say for sure. But I tell you this, Yochi, I daven to Hashem every night before I go to sleep. Please, if I have to have a dream, Hashem, I only have good dreams, not scary dreams. I know tonight I'm going to have a scary dream. I'm going to dream about my Virginia moving into my house. You know?
Is there any...
Wait, Yochi, you finished? What's the second question?
If you're awake and you imagine something,
Can I imagine? Yeah, I do. I just met. By example, I imagine how some of my friends look. I really do. I make
see
pictures.
Your little picture?
What?
Can you see your little picture, like when you
yeah.
memories from your childhood?
Yeah, for sure. I remember stuff tremendously from. But I tell you this, Yochi, I have no idea how I look. I know I'm very good looking. I just don't know how good looking. But I Yochi, yeah, of course, I make images for sure. I'm not lying to you. Yes. What's your name?
Rabbi Kunstler.
Oh, goodness gracious. Freddy Krueger Jr. Okay, what can we do for you, Ike?
Two questions. Did you ever think about getting like one of those same eye dog to walk around?
Will you be it for me?
Question number two is, is there any possible surgery in the future?
Okay, so I'll tell you about seeing eye dog. I happen to be petrified of dogs. Scared is not the word. My niece at that time was 8 years old. Said, "Why don't you get a dog?" I go, "I'm not your Bronx suit. Get your own dog." But I'll tell you a story, two stories. My grandmother, Lava Shalom, used to live in Manhattan. And my friend and I were in the apartment building waiting for the elevator. Suddenly, I hear barking. I felt something by my feet. I was jumping around like a man. I thought it was a dog because my friend pretended to be a dog. I just put it this way: I lost control of my cane. He has no more teeth anymore. And I'll tell you one more story. I was walking with a good friend of mine, 810 Spector, who's a great tzaddik also. I was walking from Hilkus to Q1 Hills in Erev Shabbos to get early mincha, and a dog jumped on the fence. I'm not lying to you. I ran in the middle of the street. I am scared of dogs. Jane, come on. They're like Cujos to me. Oh my, yeah, they're scary. I'm not sure who's more scary, a dog or a Virginian. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, second thing.
Is there a surgery?
So I tell you this. My optic nerve died. So Israel's working on doing optic nerve transplant. MIT in Boston just actually 2-3 years ago attached a TV camera to her nose and attached it to the brain. But and don't get me wrong, they're working on different techniques, stem cells, and I believe one day I will be seeing them, hopefully become off. But and I tell you, you have to listen to doctors. Rapo Yurapa, you have to listen to doctors. But I think you agree with me, I can't say, at the end of the day, it's in the hands of Hashem. Hashem wants me to see, I will, if not, not. Hakol b'day shemayim, everything's in Hashem's hand. Hashem wants me to see, I will not, not. Who's back there?
Another question.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I was going blind. Here you go. So, you can move in, my Peshel.
I hear you well.
Okay, you're next?
Akiva?
Yeah, right, come to Eugenio, so you pick some, because I mean, this is why Eugenio.
Akiva Halpern's going to ask
you. Akiva Halpern.
Where are you from?
Atlanta.
Okay, I was just here about 3 years ago, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful place, yeah. I'm being serious. There you go. What's so funny? You say because you're blind, how do you know it's pretty? But it is pretty, yeah.
Place.
It is beautiful, yes.
Okay, so do you appreciate it when people help you out, like walking across the street?
Yes and no. I hate when people are overprotective. I tell everyone this, Akiva, if you see someone in need, go up to them, can I please help you? If they say no, you can walk in back of them if they need help. But I hate when people are overprotective. A couple years ago, I was in Yerushalayim, and a bacher was helping me. He was literally dragging me across the street, like almost carrying me like a baby, you know? I tell you another story. I was once at my friend's house, and the father was saying, "Watch this, watch this." And you see, this is maybe the step to the bathroom. He goes, "Watch the step in the bathroom." So I couldn't handle it anymore. So I went in the bathroom. I lied in the bathtub and started screaming, "Help me, help me." The father almost died, you know? Akiva, I tell you, it's so important, even people who can see, if someone says no, you don't force them. Of course, you're going to get hit by a car, that's a different story. It's so humiliating when someone, just because you think I need help, if I say not, then don't help me, you know what I'm saying? If I'm going to bang my head in the pole, that's different, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I can't tell you, Akiva, it's so humiliating, people, you know what I'm saying? I have a cane, I have people, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? It's very humiliating, I can't stand it when people do that to me, I can't, yeah. Can I tell you guys big news? 3 years ago, I became a New Yorker. I was so happy. I finally got mugged. I got mugged by 3 of Obama's friends, I guess, collecting campaign money. So, you guys, I've been practicing this a lot. I've been waxing on, waxing off, yeah. I actually got mugged by 2. Yeah, I got. I hope they don't tell me in trial, pick out the mugger. I'll pick out my friend, yeah. Any other questions?
What do you think the thing that brought you to love Hashem the most was?
What's your name?
Moshe Jinian.
Okay. First of all, you guys, can I ask you for a favor? Can we just sing one song? Everybody! So I tell you why, Jinian, Shlita, sorry. It took work, I'm not going to lie to you, but when I go to sleep and I blinada, I try to think of one or two or three good things that happened, and I go, Hashem, thank you for A, thank you for B, thank you for C. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov, ki l'olam chastov, first of all. I also repeat to myself, like example, if people are singing a niggun, I can't think of a niggun. I can't think of a niggun, but I go, Hashem loves me. I keep repeating to myself, Hashem loves me, Hashem loves me, Hashem loves me. And it took work, but I at the end of the day, that's what caused me. You know, it worked on it. The Vilna Gaon said an incredible word. Eishes Potifa told Yosef at Tzadik, just say you want to have relations with me. So Vilna Gaon said Yosef at Tzadik was not going to have relations, so why she wanted to say it? The Vilna Gaon said because by Yosef saying it, it'll enter into his essence, and therefore he might be willing. So it taught me the same thing. If I repeat to myself, Hashem loves me, it's going to enter into my essence. Therefore I'll only come to, you know, realize, I realize that Hashem loves me. It took work, I'm not going to lie to you, but those are some of the things, yeah. And I also came to appreciate, like I told Shalom from Baltimore at the beginning, I came to appreciate what I do have. Yes, I might not see, but I'm still alive. Rahman, look, think about the people killed on September 11th, or the people, the Yidden killed in Gaza. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate what I do have. And that's how I realized, how can I complain against Hashem? I don't know if I answered your question, right, Jenny?
100%.
Okay, any other questions?
What's
your name?
Daniel Lehman.
From where?
Muncie.
Was that Mina Minion?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I was going blind. What the last thing I think? So I think.
No, what was the last thing that you remember seeing vividly?
Okay, so I was in Fordham Law School, and from there I was going to Mincha Mads. There's a shul about 5-6 blocks away. I think the last thing I saw was a "Don't Walk" sign before I got hit by a car. Just joking. My mother said I was blind at the time, but I think the last thing I saw was a "Don't Walk" sign. But my mother said I was blind. I think she's a Bill Clinton. She's usually lying. But yeah, I'm just joking. My mom's incredible. Sadekis. But I think the last thing was a "Don't Walk" sign, but I don't remember fully. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't remember fully. But I think the last thing I think I saw was a "Don't Walk" sign.
And I saw, when I saw you davening, I saw that you were able, I don't know what parts of davening you do know, what parts of davening that you don't know, but as far as like chakras for Shabbos, all those other tefillahs, you know everything by heart, you know.
So a lot, my Rebbe,
Zimmer on Shabbos, you know by heart.
So Yehuda Parnas told me, for Pesuk Zimmer, say the basics, Baruch Shema, Hodu, Ashrin, Yishtabach. If you need help, have someone daven with you. So on Shabbos, I need someone to say, help with Nishmas, Kochai. The big problem is like on Yontif, when someone has to help me out with Halal. So whatever once I was in a shul, and I asked the guy, can you please say hallel with me? And he goes, no problem. He starts singing it. I go, listen, I'm blind. Don't make me deaf. I'm just joking. But I tell you this, your name Daniel, you said?
Yeah.
The hardest is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'm not going to lie, Robert Spitz, I tell you, is a tzaddik of a tzaddik. But it's still hard to watch on your kid because, you know, you want to look into the machzor, you want to see what you're saying. And he'll wait for me, but it's not, you know what I'm saying? The hardest was Shanyam Kippur, because I love to look at that chait, you know, but he's a tzaddik of tzaddik. He says word by word for me. I'm not going to lie. But if Yontif Shmona Esrei, Shachas Min Chamav, I usually get by heart. Musav, I need a little bit help, especially with the Kobanas. Any other questions?
Do you have tears?
What's your name?
Moshe
Jinian. I can't cry that much. I can have a little tears, a little, you know, liquid in the eyes, but I can't cry. I don't know why, but I can't cry. It could be maybe I was crying so much for the mess, that's it. You know, I have no idea, yeah. But I don't have much, yeah.
Did you ever learn Braille?
What's your name?
Uri Sandhill.
Where are you from?
From now in Hanover. You're originally from New York, Washington.
You're Rebbe here?
Yes. Yeah.
So I was studying Braille before the bar exam, and I had a female teacher. So I asked my Rebbe, you'd upon a shlita, if it's mutter for to touch my hand. So upon said, if not, say yet, if not, not. So I opened my big mouth, I go, I prefer you not touch my hand unless you need to. She goes, the Almighty has to make exceptions. I said, the Almighty does. If not, say yes, if not, not. Then I told her, based on Yichud, I'm not allowed to be in the house alone with you. She goes, well, you are. So I go, no, I keep the front door open. You know, we didn't get along so well, you know what I'm saying? We didn't really get along, you know. But you guys, I came up with a song against the bomb. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. One, two, three. God, Obama in your face. Big disgrace, kicking the flaming Muslim liberal all over the place. We were Republican, you. Got Chelsea in your face, a big disgrace, waving Hillary the devil, the Sutton all over the place. We will, Republican you. Got your Biden in your face, big disgrace, kicking the liberal who doesn't shut up and falls asleep all over the place. We will, Republican you. Can I ask you guys a favor? So this Sunday night I'm putting on a concert, will you come?
Yes, of course.
The problem is it's only for the deaf.
Did you ever consider doing stand-up?
No. The reason I tell you this, Rabbi Uri?
Yeah.
The reason I do it, I'll be honest with you, one of the reasons I crack jokes is because I feel to put people at ease. And I find it has a bigger hushpa on people, yeah. I don't usually, you know, I'm not doing it for this, I'm just doing it for the sake of, you know, people to see the greatness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Have you tried learning Braille again?
No. I found it difficult. But what I don't understand, in New York City at least, you go to any drive-by ATM machine, there's Braille on it. Imagine me driving up to drive the ATM machine. You'll be running for your life. So someone told me they should put Braille on a steering wheel, you know? I never, Rabbi, you gotta admit, that doesn't make sense, right?
100%.
I never saw anything more, yeah. And other Braille machines in New York have Braille on it, but it doesn't speak to you. If it does, the whole bank knows you're taking out $200. You can kiss it goodbye in New York City. I guess I'll meet my Bahamas friends again, you know? But yeah, I tell you this, Rabbi Uri, the Lighthouse for the Blind said less and less people are learning Braille today because everything is talking. They said the ones who are, the people who are learning Braille are from Yidden because of Shabbos and Yontif. They told me that. But I have a talking computer. I mean, it's like, example, you, anything that's on my screen, it reads to me. Like, example, you send me an email, it'll read it to me. I write, Dear Uri, it'll read it to me. Dear Uri. It's a poem called Jaws. Anything on the screen, it reads it to me.
Can you type?
Yeah. Baruch Hashem, I know AS, you know what I'm saying? I learned Takibo, but if I make him, I'm not making fun of Uri. Let's say instead of Uri, I write, Dear Turi, you know, with a T. No, I'm not making fun of him. It'll say, Dear Turi. So I realize I wrote a T instead of a U. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a poem called Jaws. It's a matana from Hashem. It's a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem's the best.
They have someone in Bnei Brak working on Braille Chas Braille, no?
Yeah. So there's actually a whole library in Nahariya where there's tons of Sfarim in Braille. I have no idea. It could be Chas is not yet, but I know there's a whole library in Nahariya that has a lot of Braille Sfarim. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? No other questions?
Would you consider learning Braille?
What's your name?
Akiva.
I found it difficult. I'm not lying. There's a firm lady from Lower East Side, a big tzaddikah, Ita, big tzaddikah. She volunteered to come to my house. I just found it very hard. It's not like the drive-by ATM machine so big, you know what I'm saying? Because I guess if a guy's driving it, yeah, whatever. So, but I found it very hard. It was very, very small. I really did. I guess if I really dedicated, yeah, but I found it very, very hard. I really found it hard. And right now, Baruch Hashem, I have my talking computer. I'm not going to lie to you. On Shabbos and Yontif, it gets hard because I want to learn Torah. I have to find someone to read it to me. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. There's a Jewish music store in Borough Park called Mostly Music. So I was there with a friend of mine, and I thought a little Hasidic boy came in, so I tapped a little Hasidic boy in the head. The problem was, it was a 93-year-old woman. She was not too happy. True story. And I tell you, I was going... True story. So I was with a friend of mine, Menachem Linzer, is a friend of mine used to live in Riverdale, now he lives in Chicago, but I was going to his house in Riverdale, the Bronx, and they asked the cab driver to guide me, because when I'm enabled, I can't go where, you know, so the cab driver stuck his head out the window, make a right, make a left, as I'm falling down the steps, watch for the steps! I go, thank you, buddy, as I fell down, you know. Any other questions?
What do you do to relax?
I speak to a lot of Gedolim. I'm not lying to you.
So it relaxes you?
I love Torah. I miss Torah tremendously. I love Torah. Or I speak to friends or get together with friends. The one thing I maybe miss, besides seeing my Rebbe, and Torah, of course, and my family, I used to love just taking walks and looking around. Like, example, especially Aritzah, when I went to Yeshiva Kambi Yavna, so I used to take a bus to Tachna Mekazin and just walk to Meir Sham. I just love looking around and walking. And also, you know, it's every dalad amos you take is another mitzvah. But, yeah, getting together with friends. I'm not going to lie to you, Reb Daniel. I do get bored more than before. I definitely get bored. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's probably been a very large advancement in a lot of shirim that we listen to.
Yeah, I agree. But even the people give you shirim will tell you that you can't sit there all day to listen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, but yeah, if I have a good chavrusa, I'm the very happiest guy. You give me a good chavrusa, I'm very happy. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
You don't know if he's falling asleep.
Well, if I hear him saying a bye and say hello, hello, he's not saying anymore. I feel, you know, there he is. He's in sheep country, you know. But I miss Torah. Daniel, like I said, if Hashem made me blind to teach me the importance of learning Torah, I understand. I have such a dream that Mitzvah Hashem b'linado, if Hashem lets me see again, I b'linado would love just to go learn Torah again. I miss Torah so much. As my counselor, my Eugenia would tell you this, and my Urian, whatever, they'll all tell you, there's nothing more greater than learning Torah. There's nothing more greater than learning Torah. I tell everyone, you feel so good about yourself. I tell everyone this greatest proof. You go to someone who's a Todic person, they're always happy. They have no worries because they realize that Kosh Baruch Hu has won the world. You go to look at some of these Goyim, they're not happy. The Goyim, some of these Goyim have everything in the world, they're not happy. Because money, fame, and glory will not make you happy. I think you agree with me.
I've seen plenty of Yidden unhappy.
I don't want to judge them. I don't know who they are, so I cannot tell you this. I can tell you that the Yidden I met, are very happy people. I have my friend Judah Goldschmidt. He lives in an apartment with five kids, a three-bedroom apartment, and he's the happiest guy. Hillel Zinken, six kids, happiest guy. And he has nothing to, and he lives in a three-bedroom apartment, nothing glorious at all. They're the happiest people. You know what I'm saying? I can't tell the people you know. I'm just telling you the people I know of. For Shoma Zaman Obasasal, always smiling. And he was not a wealthy man at all. Because I can't tell you, what Eliyahu?
Eliezer.
Tell you what makes you happy. Can I tell you this? Can I ask you a question, Eliezer?
Sure.
Why do some of these actors or actresses try Kabbalah? If they're so happy, they don't need Kabbalah.
They're not so happy.
Exactly. Money and fame does not. I can guarantee you this. If you were a multi-billionaire, you wouldn't be happy. Money will not make you happy. I guarantee you that. Money will not make you happy. I think Ray Jinian agrees with me. No? Money will not make you happy, Eliezer. I guarantee you this. You can say yes, yes. You'll sit on the beach for 5 days, and you'll be bored. You'll be bored, and you'll be depressed. Why do you see some of these actors, actresses commit suicide? They're not happy in life. Why do some of these sports players take drugs? They're not happy. You don't agree with what I'm saying?
I'm saying that there are a lot of people who don't have Torah who are happy.
I'm not saying that, but if you deep down, you'll see they're not happy. I'm telling you, if you dig deep down, they're not happy. I can tell you this, okay? I've gone to a lot of Ben Torah dig houses. There's very little fighting going on. They're always happy. I've gone to, unfortunately, some non-Todic houses. I hold the Piatin of Shanishma. They don't know the greatness of Torah. There's always fighting and yelling. I'm not lying to you. I can tell you this. I don't want to say who. I know somebody who, Baruch Hashem, the husband, does very well. And there's always fighting. There's misbehavior of the kids. Rabbi Goldschmidt, I know personally, the kids never misbehave. Eliezer, I'm telling you, what about this, Eliezer? Could we do this? Hello?
No, I don't know.
No, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you for a favor?
Sure.
Will you come with me the Shabbos?
Oh, would I come with you the Shabbos to where?
To Ravasha Arieli? Maybe a Laser Finkel? Or Yaakov Moshe Katz?
All right, thank you very much.
I'm often to take you to Todic houses. But Yaakov Moshe Katz has about 7 or 9, 10 kids. If you go to his apartment, you'll see it's a 2x2 apartment. No, not one kid is complaining. I'm offering you, please, will you come with me?
I have Shabbos plans already.
Okay, can we do next Shabbos? I'm being serious. Please? I'm being serious, you think I'm joking you.
You're not going to pull the blind man one on me?
No, I'll be there. You tell me next Shabbos, I'll save next Shabbos for you.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, can we do this? Will you come one day this next week or this week with me to Agadol? I'm not lying to you. Please, I'm offering you. What?
I'm quite all right. I'm doing fine.
I'm asking you, please, one day. Please, just one gaddol. Just
spent the whole day with a blind man before.
I'm not doing because of me.
Experience.
I'm not doing because of me. It will be 2 hours. That's it. 2 hours. Three hours.
I completely agree with you that gaddol and ador are quite happy.
No, but it's not gaddol and ador. It's the Torah makes them happy.
I
think Rabbi Kuntz agrees with me, no?
100%.
Elias, I'm offering you. Okay, what about this? I'll take you to a kola guy, not a gadol, a kola guy.
Why me? Why
are you choosing me? I'm trying to tell you that Torah will make you happy. If you learn and live Torah, you'll have a happier life. I guarantee. Can I tell you this?
I think I agree completely with you about that.
Okay, so what do you disagree then?
That there are people who do learn Torah all day who are not happy with their
I can't tell you. I have to meet them individual. I cannot tell you this. I can tell you this. I know one person. I can't tell you who it is. Him and his wife, unfortunately, have one child who's a special child. Okay? He's the happiest guy. And you would, I'm telling you, Lesma, you never know of it. But if you and your wife only had one child, a special child, you might, you know, at least me, I can't tell. I'm not at the level I should be. I might not be happy. But because he's exactly a Ben Taiwa and his wife is a Bas Taiwa, they're always happy. Because they realize it's all from Hashem.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm offering you, please. I'm Elias, please, why won't you take me up on it?
We'll talk to you afterwards.
Why? I did something wrong?
Oh, no.
Don't do anything wrong.
He's
embarrassed.
Okay. I ask you
to forgive me. I'm just okay. I'm doing quite
well. I hope you forgive me. I'm sorry. You forgive me?
Forgive me for what?
If I embarrass you. I didn't
embarrass me.
Okay.
I'm smiling.
Can I embarrass you?
Yeah,
okay. Lift nay iver, hit a blind man across the face. Sleep well tonight, Eliezer, see blind sheep crying in your dreams. Say, I can't believe you didn't help out a blind man. Eliezer, now I realize my Mashiach is not here. Sleep well.
All right, I think I'm embarrassed now.
You're going to come? You're not even embarrassed, I'm being serious.
No, you really not.
Okay.
Okay,
no problem. I wish you a tzacha. But if I embarrass you, you fully forgive me?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Any other questions?
Real quick.
Yeah, what's your name?
Shalom again.
Okay, you can ask anything you want.
Trying to figure out how to word it.
Please,
do you ever kind of feel that you are just saying these things because you know that they would inspire someone? Do you ever have doubts about what you're saying?
No.
Or do you know that you truly, truly believe it? Because I know, like, sometimes when I speak to someone who I know I can help,
yeah,
I may say something that I know will help them, but
yeah,
I don't actually mean it.
So, Breslau, he's a Rosh Kol of Yeshiva South Fallsburg. I tell him sometimes I'm very down depressed. And Tom, it's not right for me to speak. I'm lying. But Breslau said, no, Levi, you really deep down, you do believe in what you're saying. You should speak. Do I get depressed? Like I told you before, yes, I get depressed. But do I believe Hashem is with us? For sure. Can I ask you, Shalom, a question?
Mm-hmm.
You don't find it incredible 68 years ago, 67 and a half years ago, the Holocaust ended, and we have yeshivas, seminaries, kolos all around the world, and the film community is exploding? Can you explain? I'm not attacking, but it doesn't make sense according to laws of nature. It doesn't make sense how the state of Israel survived despite all the wars. The Yom Kippur War, and I'm not minimizing the 3,000 brothers and sisters we lost. They were tzaddikim and tzaddikuses. But at the end of the war, we were 10 miles outside of Damascus. You know why? Because we have Hashem with us. It doesn't make sense. Mark Twain said this. He said the Greeks came, are gone. The Romans came, they're gone. But the Jews are still here. And I add on to this. The Jews are less than 1% of the population of America, but everyone knows what a Jew is. Because again, we're the chosen people. It's so clear. It's not even a question. You don't find it credible how this country, Eretz Yisrael, just survives on nisim and niflaos, on miracles? Chaim Weizmann, the first president of the state of Israel, told Harry Truman, I can't explain you how the state of Israel survives. But we do. We know one reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem. You don't hear what I'm saying?
I do, but I think the Jews nowadays are not the same as when it was during World War II. Now I feel that most people, it's not the same mindset as it was.
What do you mean? Give me an example. I just don't know what you mean.
During the Holocaust, it was pure love for God.
Okay.
It was pure love for God. I told Rabbi Kunstler this when I lived in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I went in TA, the Moodle Academy.
Yeah, yeah.
I went there.
Yeah.
I went over to a few younger of the kids, and I said, why do you wake up in the morning and go to Dab? And almost every single one gave me the same exact answer. Because that's what my parents did. And I went to the Rubs and I asked them, I said, why do you wake up and go to Davin in the morning? And they say, because I love doing it. I have a connection with God.
That's the one you, the Rubs answered the question you want, no?
What? No, but kids nowadays, Jews nowadays, I don't feel are doing are not, they're keeping Shabbos and they're doing everything right, but they're not doing it for the reasons that we had, you know, during World War II or any
okay,
time.
Let me, I'm not meaning that. I just want to know, because what were the reasons to keep Shabbos? Because Hashem commanded us, right?
Yeah, but there's a difference between doing something for just doing it and doing it because you want to and you enjoy it and you
so
love it.
So all I can tell you about the kids, I know, again, I wasn't there, so maybe the kids just don't know, because they're too young to know the reason behind it. But I can tell you my friends. I can tell you my friends who keep Shabbos see the beauty of it, see the greatness, realize it, and know that Hashem commanded us. You know, I'm just trying to explain to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, all I can tell you is my friends. I'm not making fun. I don't know you. Baruch Hashem, I know many Yidden who keep Shabbos not because their parents did it. They kept it because the Hashem commanded us. The Chulat Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Hashem commanded us to keep Shabbos. They're not doing it because, you know, their parents did it. Because I think you agree, Sean, that would not last long. Maybe them, but their kids or the second generation would be off the derech.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to say is that also, I'm not attacking you,
yeah.
But if a guy just did it because his parents did, then he wouldn't go to Kola. He wouldn't learn Torah. He's learning Torah because he knows this is what Hashem wants.
Or that he's just too afraid to leave what he's always known.
Yes and no, because maybe he would not, but he wouldn't stay so late. He would find a time, let me go get a coffee, let me get a Danish. You know what I'm saying?
There are always exceptions and
whatnot. I'm not saying that, but I'm just giving you an example. Give Lakewood, New Jersey. There's over 6,000 guys learning Torah. I'm not attacking you,
yeah.
But according to you, the way I'm understanding you, I'm not saying I could be wrong. There should only be, in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, there should only be 300 guys there. But all of us should all be eating Danishes and coffee.
Yeah.
I'm not attacking you, Chashom.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to explain to you. There are many people, I think, today are sacrificing themselves for the sake of Torah. What about Vasikin? If you didn't believe in Hashem, you would not get up that early to daven Vasikin. And when you wouldn't get up at 5:30 in the morning to do Daf Yomi.
Unless everyone else was doing it, you would have felt out of place for not.
I don't know. I don't think you get up at 5:30 in the morning to do Daf Yomi. Well, I don't think you'd come home after a hard day at 9 o'clock to do Daf Yomi.
1,000%, I think there are many people who truly do believe in it and
yeah.
Do wake up at 5:30 because they
believe in Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It may be. Very possible that I'm wrong.
No, Chacham, I'm not saying I might be
misunderstanding.
I might be misunderstanding. I might be misunderstanding you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. You know, I could tell you a story. My Rebbe, where Parnas used to, when he lived in the Bronx, he used to give a shiur a night to Balabatim. And there was one Balabas, one businessman who stood up during the whole shiur. So Parnas said, "Why don't you sit down?" He goes, "Because if I sit down, I'm going to fall asleep." That man obviously believed in Hashem. He could have fallen asleep. No one would have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you, in my shul, there's two daf yomis. One is 7:15 and one is 5:30 in the morning. You would not get up early if you didn't need to. If you didn't believe in Hashem, you would not get up early even 7:15. You say, "I'm coming up 7:20 to go 7:30 minyan." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's also a minyan in my shul, 6:30 in the morning. If you didn't believe in Hashem, you wouldn't get up early to go to 6:30 minyan. You say, "I go to 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, it's just one of those topics
yeah.
That probably...
No, chas v'shalom. I wish you hatzlacha wherever you're going to go next year.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
I have an interesting question.
What's your name?
Yofi Gortz.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe it's not so appropriate.
I forgot where you're from. You told me, I forgot.
I'm Flavish.
Okay, I apologize.
Maybe it's not so appropriate, but...
You can ask anything you want. I'm very open.
Very interesting question. Is your tithe decreased tremendously since you became blind?
I don't remember. My tithe has not gotten up so much. I don't remember. I can't tell you. I don't remember what I could see. I can tell you one thing, Yochi, which I do find, which is a bracha from Hashem, is I don't see the... I heard today a friend of mine told me there's a lot of turmoil in the streets. Maybe by Ginny, by consecrating, I don't know, I heard there's a lot of preachers out there today, the people, that unfortunately some nashim not so properly dressed. I can't tell you because I don't see it. So someone told me that's a bracha for you, that bracha Hashem, you can't see that. And therefore your tithes would be greater. I can tell you an incredible vort, but Shlomo Goldberg, he's already in the Boyer's Yeshiva High School of Beis Medrash. You know, Bilam goes to Kovach, okay, you can't curse. But you know what we can do? We're going to set up a flea market, and we're going to have the Nashim, I forgot what country, the Goyish Nashim won the flea market. When the Yidden come to buy stuff, the Nashim will say, come into flea market, and they'll cause them to have immoral relations. And that's what happened. So Shlomo Goldberg said, how could Hashem get angry? They were going shopping, because Hashem gave them the man, gave them food, water, and everything they needed. So they had to go shopping. And Shlomo Goldberg said, this applies to us today. Obviously, if you work in Manhattan, that's a different story. But if you don't work in Manhattan, you can go to Borough Park. You can go to Flatbush. You can go to Five Towns. You can go to Huron Hills. You can go to Baltimore. There are, Baruch Hashem, many kosher places where you don't have to go see the pizzas. So Shlomo Goldberg said, if you go into Manhattan, then you can't, and you don't need to be there, then you can't ask Hashem, please help me. You can't get Menu Hashem when you're over on Aveiro now, because you're putting yourself into that Makom Sakana. All I can say to you, I don't remember, but all I can tell you is I don't see the shorts. I know what Marty Finkelman, he's a Mashkiach Yeshiva Chaim, he only wears glasses when he's in the basement of shul or driving home. That's all I know. And there's other people like that also. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But I can't tell you, I don't know. And I don't want to lie to you. I think if anything, my time is decreased.